In spite of inflation, two-thirds of American families own their own homes, and one out of every ten has a private swimming pool as well. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the high cost of free gifts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Say, authorities tell us that it now costs $118 to buy the same bag of groceries that we could buy 4 years ago for only $100. Every month the price of groceries, clothing, shoes, rent, and automobiles edges up just a little bit. But at the end of the year, it has taken a huge bite out of the family income. Every effort to stop inflation, every effort to turn it in another direction has failed. Nothing has actually prevented the gradual escalation of living costs in almost every category. Economic committees are still trying to come to grips with the inflation monster, and the result? Millions of people in the United States are living far below the government-prescribed subsistence level. But listen, friends, I've got some good news for you. I know something that's free, and it's worth more than groceries or automobiles or houses. And you'll agree with that when I tell you what it is. There is nothing clearer in the Bible, and it's described in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So there it is, friends. Salvation is a gift of God. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can get it. Just one way, you must take it freely as God gives it to you through His Son, Jesus. Suppose now for a moment that you could work your way to heaven, or that you could pay your way in, like you buy a ticket to a baseball game. We would have a heaven full of boasters. One man would say, I worked harder to get here than you did. And another man would chime in, I worked harder to get here than either one of you. And a rich man would brag, I paid $1 million cold cash for my citizenship. Well, you depend on it, friends. God's not going to have that kind of a heaven. The Bible says not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:9. There'll be no boasters and no braggarts in God's paradise. We all get there on the same basis. We take salvation as a free gift in Christ Jesus, or we don't take it at all. Now listen to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you can earn death, but you can't earn salvation. Salvation is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. There's nothing so wonderful, there's nothing so desirable, and it's free. No work, no pay. I know you remember John 3:16. You probably memorized it sometime in your life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now it is believe and be saved, or failing that, to be lost. Please notice how specific the Bible is about this eternal life. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Again, we see that eternal life is a free gift from God, and we see further it's in His Son. Jesus said when He was here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John tells us again, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And it's just that simple, friends. You have Christ the Son, you have life, eternal life. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Either you do or you don't. Either you've accepted Christ or you haven't. Either you've been born again or you haven't. Life is in Christ. Accept Him and you have it. When do you have it? Let's let Jesus answer it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And that is present tense, friends. When you receive Him as your Savior, you have eternal life. Now let me illustrate it this way. Suppose I hold a genuine dollar bill in my hand, and I say to you, if you'll take this dollar bill, I'll give it to you. You hesitate a moment, but convinced that I'm sincere, you take it. All right, now when did the dollar bill become yours? When you gave it to me, you say. No, not really. When you took it, that is when it became yours. And as the dollar was in my hand, it was mine. But the moment you took it, it became yours. That's exactly the way it is with your salvation. God offers you free salvation in His Son Jesus. When you take Christ, like you took the dollar bill, you have eternal life. How is that? Well, you have the author of eternal life. You have Christ, and so you have eternal life. Now, the reason we must have a Savior is that we're all sinners. Romans 3:10 and 23 tells us, "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, you can search the nations, you can go up and down in the world from east to west, and you'll find nothing but sinners. Yes, I know, that's a sorry commentary on the human race, but it's true. That's the reason Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So you see, friends, the plan of salvation is not incomprehensible or even difficult. You neither work for it or buy it with your little or much. It is a free gift. You simply take it out of God's hand as you took the dollar bill out of mine. Salvation is free to every sinner. But because it's free does not mean that it costs nothing. You can accept this as a certainty. Your salvation is the most costly thing in the universe of God. Not to you, but to God. It cost God His Son. The Father laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He made Christ to be sin for us. The most devastating thing that ever came to the human race was Adam's sin, in which he plunged mankind into that abyss of sin. The most amazing, the most astonishing, the most phenomenal thing that ever came to this world was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Angels of God looked over the ramparts of heaven with hushed song as their beloved commander paid the supreme penalty for sin. Inhabitants of other worlds gazed on the scene in wonderment, almost unbelief. This was without precedent. When in time had man's Creator died to become his Redeemer? Jesus walked the path of obedience. He did not fail or become discouraged. Even when His friends deserted Him and fled, He persevered. In apparent defeat, He was wonderfully victorious. Now He's willing and waiting to share His victory of the cross with you. He'll take your sins and give you His righteousness. And listen out there, if you're a bargain hunter, if you like to get the most for your money, try and beat that at the grocery store, or Ford, or General Motors, or any other company. What did your salvation cost? To you, the recipient of this wonderful boon, nothing. What did it cost Christ? He trod the winepress alone. He was deserted, forsaken in that hour. He was separated from His Father, and in anguish cried out, "My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" What did it cost the Father? What would it cost you, fathers and mothers, if your only well-beloved son or daughter lay dying and did die? Well, that's what it costs the Heavenly Father. We've seen what the sinner's salvation costs the Father and the Son. Now, what is the sinner's part? It is to cooperate in your own salvation. It's to give Jesus the supreme lordship of your life. It's to enthrone Him in your heart as Lord and Master. And believe me, my friends, that is what it will take. God can accept nothing less than that, and in view of Calvary, can we give less than that? Jesus made the supreme sacrifice for every sinner, for those who hated Him. Is it asking too much for sinners to step completely over the line and turn their lives over to Him without reserve? Paul is one man who did just that. He said, "I am crucified with Christ." Previously, Paul had gone all the way in opposition to Christ, persecuting and killing the saints. But after the Damascus Road encounter, it was a different story. It was the other way around. He said after that, "For me to live is Christ." And friends, for any of us to live is Christ. That is to say, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Despite the assertions of some preachers, there are not many roads to heaven. The Father has not provided many Saviors, only one. But listen to me now, that one is completely adequate. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come into God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. The transformed sinner, the redeemed saint, must grant Jesus the lordship over their lives. Is this to their advantage? Oh, yes, friends, there is present advantage. God wants the very best things to happen to you. But more than that, He has an eye upon your eternal welfare. He wants you to live on and on through endless time. In other words, He wants you to have what Jesus paid for on the cross. Come unto Me, Jesus invites, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Have you wondered why there's so much unrest in the world at present? Men and women the world around do not have Jesus. They labor, they're heavy laden, but only as they come to Him will they find rest. Take My yoke upon you, the Lord urges. And please listen, you will find no rest unless you do, but you'll find rest when you come to Him. When you take Jesus' yoke, then He yokes up with you and helps you with the load. Now don't get the idea that this won't work. This is real, friends. Jesus will do just that. Jesus spoke about denying self, about taking up your cross daily and following Him. He talked about keeping the commandments. You may not like to deny yourself. You may not like to take up your cross every day. You may not like to obey Him. But friends, listen. Listen closely. Would your Creator, your Redeemer, Jesus, ask you to do anything that was not for your best interest and eternal good? You know that you can trust the hand that was nailed to the cross. You can trust the Son of God who gave Himself for you. All right, I have just a little time before I leave you for today, but before I go, let me recapitulate a moment now. Your salvation is free to you. It doesn't cost you a penny or a minute at hard labor. In truth, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You must accept it as a gift through Jesus Christ or do without it. That's the basis upon which God offers His heaven and His eternity. And this precludes all boasting. Now, it is the sick who need a physician. It's the sinners who need a Savior. All in the world are sinners, but the merits of the crucified one will suffice to save every person who repents, who turns away from his wrongdoing to righteousness. But because salvation is free, don't imagine that it costs nothing. It costs the best heaven had, God's Son, the crown prince of the universe. You don't work to get your salvation, but you work after you have it. God has a work and a witnessing program that will delight and engross you as long as you live. Did not Jesus say, "If you love Me, keep My commandments"? John 14:15. Remember how you loved your mother at 10? You delighted to bring her the largest tomato out of the garden and the prettiest peach and the nicest apple? Why? Because you loved her. That's why. And that's exactly the way it is with the Lord Jesus. You love Him. He died for you. He is supreme in your life, so you delight to obey Him. And it's never a hardship. It's always a pleasure to do that because of what Jesus has done for you. And I tell you, friends, if we put forth our efforts and keep the commandments of God and struggle to meet His will for any other reason except that we love Him and want to please Him, we're doing it in vain. God will not accept that kind of service at all. We must do it for the right motive, and that is that we love Jesus supremely. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.